MyMac Podcast 980, How to Dad.
And welcome, everyone, to the MyMac.com podcast number 980. Oh, my God. Five away from, let me think here for a sec, 700 shows since Gaz and I took over. That's not 700 shows that we've done together, because obviously there are times when he's not available, I'm not available, other people come on to the show, case in point, this week, which we will get into in just a second. But however, lately I've been experimenting with live casting on YouTube with a new short form podcast, and our guest today, Carl Madden, actually came up with the name. It's called The Daily Apple Dispatch, and it should be roughly 5 minutes or so long per episode. So when will it begin? What have I done with it so far? And how did the setup go? What programs did I use? And what issues have come up? So many issues. But we'll talk about that later, because we're going to bring our special guest in. And I don't want that view. I want that view right there. Hello, Carl. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. Where's the damn door out of this place? This is the second week I'm trapped here. What the hell?
Yeah, well, no. You agreed to do this. I have a contract. So,
yeah,
you know,
pictures.
Well, I didn't want to go that far, but sure, we can talk about that. How have you been? I know that you still have that slight cough.
Still have to cough. It's getting annoying now. It's like constant headache because I'm coughing so much. It's driving me mad, or madder.
Yeah, madder, I guess, would be probably the more correct term. Yeah. So yeah. I guess you're still working, you're still doing other stuff. Talk to me, Goose.
Yeah, still working, still doing the show. Did the show. Two of the guys were back next week. Hopefully, actually, you know, one of them already knows away next week, but hopefully Alan will be back next week on the show. And then eventually after that, we'll finally have all three of us together. And because I don't know how much longer the show's going to go on for. That's the trouble. Because I thought our company was moving at the end of July, but now it might be the end of August. So it's bought me a little bit of leeway there before I have to start at even more ridiculous times in the morning, like 4 a.m. So I'm not sure I'll be able to continue the podcasting as it currently is at the moment.
Well, let's hope you can. I love the Mac and Forth podcast. Actually, you know what? I was thinking about this the other day, and it just came back into my head. What was the one that you used to do with Missy?
Well, there was World's Part and Here and There.
Here and There. That was it. I always liked those. I've been a longtime listener to a lot of your shows, and she was fun. I guess just because she's out in the west coast of the U.S., I think.
Yeah. So, as you know, like, you know, doing a podcast with a Brit, times don't always, like, mesh up very well together.
Not always. Yeah. Not always.
So, you know, especially during the week. So that's always a pain.
But, no, that's too bad. I liked her.
Oh, she's still around. Still does her thing over on Facebook. She's still, like, going. She's still posting
stuff.
No,
she's not on your podcast anymore. Dead to me. I'm sorry.
Oh.
That's how that works. Kidding, Missy. I've actually spoken with her before. It's been kind of crazy hot here, so I haven't gone outside very much. Putting together the tech that I'm taking next week to Chicago for the Mac Stock Conference and Expo, which I'm really, really excited about. However, I've been putting all that tech together in a very nice, cool room because I can, basically. Have you heard of this show, The Lincoln Lawyer? Over on Netflix?
Yeah, it was a movie originally, wasn't it? I've never seen the TV show. Mind you, I've never seen the movie.
The TV show is actually quite good. I'd seen some clips of it on YouTube and decided I was going to start watching it after we got done. Because my wife and I watch a couple of different shows together. Nothing new. My wife always... Getting my wife to watch something new on television is like pulling teeth. It's really... really difficult. So while we're eating dinner, we'll watch like Mystery Incorporated, which is a Scooby-Doo show that came out 10 plus years ago. She'll surf for YouTube cat videos and stuff like that. But for the most part, I'll sit there and say, you know, you should check out this show, Lincoln Lawyer. I really, really like it. The last show that I was able to get her to watch was, the cartoon Star Trek. Darn it.
Lower Decks.
Yeah, Lower Decks. Lower Decks. I was able to get her to watch that, and she really liked it. Couldn't get her to watch New Voyages, or not New Voyages. Is it New Voyages?
Strange New Worlds.
Strange New World. What is?
It's going to be like, fun time
brain,
for me
brain
today.
Not working today. Hey. can't get her to watch that. Can't get her to watch, you know, any of the stuff that I find. I think you'll really like this. And he's like, no, I'm going to watch Lefty Vids on YouTube. It's like, okay, all right. You know, as long as I don't have, yeah, it's, well, I mean, tarot card readers, people going on and on and on and on and on and on about Trump. I'm not going to vote for the guy. But at the same time, I'm not interested in watching 10 to 15 minute diatribes about everything that he's ever done or potentially done. It's like, the guy's a complete narcissist. I get it. It's a politician. Why I'm not going to vote for him.
What politician isn't?
Exactly. But it's driving me crazy. So when she wants to watch that stuff, I'll say, oh, okay, I'm going to go downstairs and watch... you know, whatever the spring football league is of the week that's on, or some shows that I've been watching on Netflix. And then you can just sit there and watch all the Lefty Vids and tarot card readers that you want, you know, and that's fine.
I've just started a new one. I think it's called Beacon 23. It's called Beacon something or other.
Beacon 23? Is that a US show?
I think it's on
UK
Netflix. It's got British actors in it, but no, it's about this beacon somewhere in space, and there's only meant to be one person on it, and all of a sudden it becomes the center of attention. It's quite good. I mean, I don't really understand what's going on at the moment. There's obviously some mystery going on there.
Yeah,
but it's quite interesting to watch. And the other
do
thing,
they
I,
have a talking dog.
Used to, no, they have.
No, then I can't get droids. My wife to watch it.
They have droids and AI though, but
okay,
robots. But you know, the other things I would think. The younger me, if you told the younger me, there is going to come a time where there's going to be superhero TV shows and there's going to be Star Wars TV shows. My young self would have like ripped your arm off with
just plots.
Give me the remote. Now they've come out. I've seen them. They're utter rubbish. So now I just enjoy watching the takedown videos of them far more than the actual shows themselves because they are diabolical.
I've been watching The Acolyte. The Star Wars and I don't hate watch it like I did Star Trek Discovery, but at the same time I'm not particularly enjoying it, but it's one of those things I've started to watch it and so I want to see how it ends, and it doesn't necessarily badly. Mean that at the end of it I'll sit there and go, oh, I get it now. Even though I have not particularly cared for this show all the way through these last 5 minutes where they had all the exposition and explained everything, that's made it so much better. No. No, it really has.
My life's too short for nonsense anymore. So, yeah.
Also, this week, I've switched over to my Lewitt 440 Pure condenser microphone, and the reason why I did that, I'll kind of get into when I start talking about the Daily Apple Dispatch, but I was having some audio issues. Whoa, I know. Step back in amazement. Guy having audio issues. Who ever thought that might happen? You know what we didn't talk about? Before we started the show, was Gazza Snippets.
So I got some, again,
you
I
got
read
some?
My
okay.
show notes.
Okay, good.
But I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know, before we carry on to that bit, is you're going away to Macstock.
Yes.
Well, probably sometime this week. Next week, sorry.
Yeah, next Thursday.
But so now, in the past, In the past, you've packed a suitcase of nonsense to take with you. I still say you could do it with a phone and a one microphone, I reckon. What are you taking this time?
You're absolutely right. You could. You could very easily take just like a single little tripod and a little thing that you could put the phone on and just do everything from that, even with multiple people. You could, mm-hmm. you could do that. I can't do that. I have to take stuff. So yeah, I'm taking stuff. But to my credit, the last time I went to MacStock, and I don't know why I did this, I took like 15 microphones with me that I was going to show David Ginsberg. I don't know why I felt that was important to do. There really wasn't. And as soon as I started taking all the mics out, Dave's eyes started like rolling back into his head going, and I don't know if it was because he just couldn't believe that I would have done that, or he was literally about to fall asleep as a form of defense to keep me from talking about all these different microphones. And I'm kind of leaning toward that as what actually happened. So this time, bare minimum, I'm really not taking a lot of stuff. And that's a qualifier right there. I'm taking a Arturia Minifuse 2, which is a dual XLR input audio interface, along with the cable to connect that to the computer. I'm taking two SM58 microphones that have like this little extra pop filter that I've put on. Yep. And of course the cabling for that.
Two cables. Okay. Yeah.
And also I already have this thing. I've had it for a while. It's a 15-inch display that I can hook up directly to the laptop so that I have a, you know, extra screen real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And all the cabling for that. That's it. I'm not taking lights. I'm going to use my phone as the camera, and I've got a little tripod and a little thing to put the phone on for that, and that's it. That's all I'm taking.
Well, that's practically pared down to nothing for you.
That's for me. That's like almost nothing. You're right. You're right.
Wow.
And a lot of it, I think, is finally understanding that I don't have to take a setup to record four people with, which I have done so many times in the past and only used twice in all of the times that I've taken all that gear. Most of the time, it's just me or me and one other person. So in a fit of stability and clarity, I'm just taking everything that I need to record two people onto a podcast and using the phone as my camera. Because I do have these little USB-C cameras from, who makes them? Elgato? Elgato makes these little tiny cameras that are very good quality. And you can put them on their own separate tripods and you could have, you know, two people and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know, how do I, unless I set up some kind of complete recording studio through like OBS or something like that. It's just too much of a pain in the ass. So I can just use something like this, StreamYard, record that one camera that I have. And if, for example, if Gaz wants to come in from the UK, kind of like what you're doing today, we would have a two camera setup all done through StreamYard. So let the software do the work.
I just want to point out, dear viewer, and particularly Gaz as well, it only took Guy 5 minutes from when we was meant to record to when we actually started recording.
And I was on before that time. I was not long after 10 o'clock, pretty much ready to go. I was just doing a couple of light checks to make sure everything was being recorded to all of the various things that I have things being recorded to. But I was ready to go right at 10 o'clock. And, you know, Gaz's head right now is exploding while it's spinning at the same time. It's making a real mess, probably ever on the Silverstone track.
Silverstone,
where the cars, where the cars go by. They're like, what's there that? Oh, it's brains.
There it goes.
So let's go on over to Gaz's snippets.
We really need that sound effect.
We do. I don't have it.
So I'll just read. There's only a few here anyway, but I'm sure you'll be able to comment on something.
Wait, hold on. Hold on.
Hold on. Ooh, wait a minute.
Ooh, back up. Hold on. Let's go on over to Gaz's snippets. Okay, wow. I did have it. Wow. I am so the professional.
That was actually Gazmaz. He actually tuned in from Silverstone just to play that clip. So
what a guy. What a guy.
So, strangely enough, Guy, the EU has hit back at Apple for withholding, supposedly about to withhold, Apple intelligence from the region. They're not too happy about it, as we, worked out last week.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But as it was pointed out on our show, there's no guarantee that at the moment Apple is bringing it to anyone outside of, I think, US and Canada. So we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Well, I think the problem was that Apple specifically said we're not going to bring it to the EU because of the EU's policies, blah, 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 blah.
DMA.
And if they hadn't said anything at all and they just come out, released iOS and macOS and all of the various programs that are going to have Apple intelligence eventually, because there's no guarantee that it'll be out right when those are released, I doubt the EU would have said anything at all. Or if they had come out with it and said, well, for now, it's you know, U.S. and Canada only because it only works in English. I think, again, there wouldn't have been much that the EU would have said about it. But the fact that Apple deliberately called them out is probably what's got their panties in a twist.
Well, again, as we were saying, they don't have to bring it out anywhere they don't want to anyway. Because you guys get features we don't get. So that's why it is, unfortunately. Now, apparently, Phil Schiller has joined OpenAI board as an observer, the role of observer anyway, following the Apple's ChatGPT deal. So he'll be sitting off in the corner.
Which one is here for? Oh, that's Federici.
No, he's the old guy. He used to come out and introduce the hardware and stuff and say, this is the greatest thing ever, you know. So, so he'll be sitting in the corner sneering at things. Yeah. He hears stuff he doesn't like.
That's what you're going to release?
Yes. Speaking of keeping with AI for a moment, Apple is rumored to announce integration with Google Gemini later this year in the autumn, as we call it over here. So not only are they going with ChatGPT, just like they said, they're also going to go hopefully integrate Gemini as well from Google. Hopefully by then Google would have sorted their stuff out and it won't be throwing up such weird results as it has been recently. Like telling people to eat paste and rocks and whatnot.
Well, better than, here are some handy web links while you're driving down the road. All you've done is ask them, well, what's the temperature? What is the day today? Here's some handy web link. No, just that's freaking Siri. Tell me.
That's it. Now, speaking of ChatGPT, their Mac app has apparently left their users' data open on their system. So it turns out that they were storing all the questions in a plain text, and it's been patched now, however. So if you have got the ChatGPT Mac app, make sure you update it, because now it's encrypted. But they did point out, however, we are aware of this issue and have shipped a new version of the application which encrypts these conversations. We're committed to providing a helpful user experience while maintaining our high security standards as our technology evolves.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure it wasn't on purpose.
I don't think it was on purpose. I just think it's like a silly mistake. And the reason it's got through is because they didn't do it via the App Store, because that would have checked if it was all sandboxed and, you know, and safe. Anyway.
Well, they didn't do it by the App Store because they didn't want to necessarily follow Apple's rules with it.
Who likes following rules? What rules anyway? Break the rules. Move fast. Break rules.
You know, no rules. Whatever. Just right.
Now, Apple is also apparently looking at Apple Intelligence to be expanded and may include some paid features. So apparently what this is relating to is some of the more specialized large language model things out there and AI is they will, you might be able to pay a fee and get access to the more scientifically based ones or medically based ones. So depending on what you want to use this stuff for, like research purposes and stuff like this, you might have to pay a fee to get access to some of those models as well, rather than just ChatGPT and Gemini and, you know, Claude and various others.
This is from Apple. Apple is saying this, or is this a rumor?
This is a report, apparently, that came out. It's looking at what they're offering, because they're out there at the moment looking at these other services to integrate at some point in the future. So this is one of the theories. Why is that?
Well, because Apple hasn't done that before with their operating system, where you have to pay to play. Now, granted, they used to charge for the operating system, but it wasn't a recurring cost. And this, that kind of thing, what you're talking about right there sounds more like a subscription service, which is fine.
Yeah, but it is. It is a subscription service, but only for the people who want it, i.e. researchers and whatnot.
Okay.
And well, it's not part
I
of the
think
integration.
That should not be done through the operating system. That should be done.
It's not in the operating system. It's Apple Intelligence. It's not the operating system.
Well, that's
it's
the built
intelligence
into the
part of it.
System.
Two parts of it are. Third part isn't. Third part lets you go outside the system and use third party clients.
Well, I would have to. Number one, I'd have to see whether it's true or not. Number two, I'd have to see
that's
how
true.
It works.
Yeah. That's true. Now, Allfeet got hacked. And 33 million users' phone numbers were stolen. So ooh. That's good to know, isn't it? Allfeet, they're that two-factor authentication app, very popular one.
Oh, okay. So the application that's meant to keep us safe has gotten hacked, and they released all of our phone numbers. Nice. Okay.
Well, they potentially got all our phone numbers. So if you use Allfeet, watch out for any like scamming numbers coming into you, asking you to reset your details or anything like that. Who knows what they could do with that information, but it's not obviously not good.
Wasn't Allfeet a movie back in the 60s from the UK?
Allfeet?
Yeah. I can't remember his name. He's been in everything. The guy that played Alfred in the Batman movies.
Michael Caine.
Quite a few.
Allfeet.
Yeah.
You're thinking about Allfeet.
Oh, Allfeet. I see. Okay. Sorry. My mistake.
Jeez. Apparently, an Apple Watch can detect leading cause of heart attacks, according to a doctor. So this is a doctor called Dr. Ruud Kuster, a Dutch cardiologist. And he discovered that after doing a workout, he took some ECG readings on his watch. And he detected a slight inconsistency. And teaming up with a fellow cardiologist, they discovered that he had some potentially blocked arteries. And it discovered it ahead of time. Now, he's saying that they could use these readings moving forward to possibly detect this very silent killer, because it doesn't show up anywhere else. Yeah. So they're looking into expanding that. But Apple still says using the ECG on your app doesn't, you know, predict heart attacks at the moment.
Well, you know why? They have to say that. Because if somebody has a heart attack and they're wearing an Apple Watch, first thing they're going to do is 1-800-LAWYER-UP. It's Apple's fault because they didn't tell me that 50 years of smoking and eating lots of red meat with fat was going to make my heart expand or whatever.
It does what now? What? Nick should be telling me drinking and smoking is bad for you. Yeah, there.
No, I would never make a claim like that, Carl.
Good.
Ever.
FaceTime for Apple TV is getting an upgrade when the new OS drops, and that will be live subtitles for when you're chatting to someone if you wish to turn it on. So if they're a little harder hearing or deaf, you'll be able to see live captions come up. Yeah, I knew you was going to do that. Go away. Apple has added three items to their vintage list. The original AirPods, the iPhone X, and the HomePod, the original one.
These are all devices that are, more than 5 to 7 years old?
7 years old, I think it is.
Okay.
But it doesn't seem like 7 years has gone by since they've come out.
That's because we're old.
I know that, yeah.
Everything, public service announcement here. As you get older, time speeds up. When you're a kid and you're sitting in school watching that clock for when the release time is coming up, that second or that second hand is just like click, click, click. You get older, it's like, huh, I'm really enjoying this vacation. Click, 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 click. And the next thing you know, you're back on the plane going home.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there's not enough leg room moaning about that.
Well, for you and me, yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to deal with that in a few days. Fortunately, Chicago is hour and a half to 2 hours. It's not that bad. I can deal with it for that period of time. Completely going off on a tangent that we didn't have to, but I'm going to anyway. I took a flight to San Francisco for the Macworld Expo. God, well, obviously a long time ago since that stopped in 2014. And I was on, I think it was United Airlines, and they had me like almost all the way to the back of the plane. And the leg room was so bad, I ended up standing for most of the flight. And the flight attendants were very kind because I wasn't actually supposed to do that. And they allowed me to pretty much stay back there unless there was turbulence or when we were coming in for a landing. And, you know, and room on planes have not gotten any better since then. So I'm always having to spend extra money to get like an exit row seat or, God forbid, a business class or something like that seat. Not because, you know, I want to lord it over everybody else saying, oh, you're looking at me in my fancy seat. No, it's just because I'm basically eating my knees for the entire flight. And Carl knows exactly what it is I'm talking about.
I always enjoy when the person in front of you thinks, oh, I'll put my chair back.
Oh,
you ain't, mate. It's not going anywhere.
Those people will die horrible, painful deaths.
It's just...
How dare you,
it doesn't work. Oh, it must be broken. It's not moving for some reason. Yeah. I can't think why. Anyway, and my last one is Apple Intelligence is probably, maybe, more likely, coming to the Apple Vision Pro in 2025. So there you go.
So is that all of them?
That's all of them.
Okay. And we don't have a Gaz's link. There we go. Okay. We are going to actually very, very quickly. Let's talk about the Macstock Conference and Expo, which is coming up July 12th through the 14th, which is starting next weekend. This is your last weekend to sign up for this show. And you know, I've said this 1,000 times if I've said it once, and I don't exaggerate at all, that this is a fantastic show with great speakers, terrific camaraderie. You'll get to sit down with the people that are giving the talks, ask them questions, find out what it is that they know that you want to know. And I can't think of any particular time when one of the speakers was like, no, you peasants, get away from me. No, they're all very, very nice. And considering what kind of information and what kind of value you get from a small conference like this, I highly, highly recommend that you check out the Macstock Conference and Expo at macstockconferenceandexpo.com. That's coming up July 12th through the 14th, and you can get 30% off, not through this podcast, but I believe that Mac Voices and Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS have discount codes to get 30% off. So go check those out, and if you can, come join all of us, well, not Carl, but the rest of us, over at the Macstock Conference and Expo next weekend. Okay.
Are they doing a virtual version of it again this year?
Yes, they are.
That's what they did during COVID.
And you can sign up for that, and you can see all of the same stuff. And that's great. You still get all of the information, but it's not like being there. It's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about How to Dad, Carl, and not in the way that that some people might be thinking. This is for something I've been trying to do called the Daily Apple Dispatch. Carl actually came up with the name for it, but 2 weeks ago, I think. And I don't even remember how the conversation started. But by the time it was done, I was like, yeah, I want to do a daily livecast.
Well, we was talking about this. We was talking about the aspects of, obviously, if you're listening via a podcast, you're just hearing the audio version of the show. But Guy also does a YouTube version of it. And it's obviously normally Guy and Gaz doing it, and it's normally about an hour or so long. And they just chat all the way through. And, you know, that's how it is. But, you know, in this age of YouTube entertainment, there's also the opportunity just to do smaller things out there. And one of the things I had planned to do, if I was made redundant recently following all the heave-ho with my job, was to do something similar to what Guy is doing. But I wasn't made redundant. So he took my idea, damn it, and ran with it.
So what this is just a – eventually it'll be a daily show Monday through Friday, about 5 minutes long, talking about topics related to Apple stories that are out there, and, you know, just stuff along those lines. And I'm hoping to get – the hardest part of this show, of that show, isn't recording it. It isn't, you know, getting in front of the camera, which is – that can be hard for a lot of people. But to get in front of the camera – and, you know, put yourself out there and all the rest of that. The hard part of almost any live cast, really almost any podcast, is coming up with something to talk about. And so what I'm hoping is to build up kind of a backlog of topics. Because it typically, for 5 minutes of content, it takes me 15 to 20 minutes to type out what it is, the general point of what it is I want to talk about. For example, if you could see our show notes right now, all it says is how to dad, and then it's got some, you know, programs and stuff, and we're going to get to those in just a second. But I've so far managed to talk for 2 to 3 minutes, and I haven't even gotten to how I'm going to do that podcast yet. So obviously, speaking into a microphone while looking at a camera is not hard for me. What do you think, Carl?
No, I mean, see, obviously I think it's a good idea. There's lots of other YouTubers who do something similar, both for Apple, for technology, for anything really. Anything that's news-related or entertainment, absolutely anything. So there's a very crowded market, so you can go into it and get lost straight away. And initially, you probably will be lost straight away because there's so much out there. But with consistency and an entertaining product, you can quickly, hopefully, rise. Yeah. And because it's daily, there's one thing about Apple-related news. It happens every single day. There's always some controversy. There's always something said about it. There's always something released. There's also something coming out. It's always, as we just demonstrated a little while ago in the tidbits. There's always something happening in the Apple sphere. And if Guy has the opportunity, he can just find that story, give a brief description or whatever, and then share his thoughts. And that's it. And now that's the part that's the tricky bit. Opening yourself up on your own is because you've got no one to pull you back and go, well, hang on a minute, that's not quite correct, until you've committed yourself. And that's where comments come in. But the trick is apparently to take advantage of Google's algorithm is you have to do it consistently around the same time every single day. And if the viewership is there, it will start to go up and up and up, because at a certain point, YouTube will start recommending you. It's just reaching that peak, and it takes sometimes a while to get there. But hopefully, with viewer support, like if watching Guy on the show, it's like 5 to 10 minutes, and just share his thought, like his video, comment on it.
That's like the
those
perfect
will help.
Time. Yeah. It's like the perfect. you get past 5 minutes, people are like, God, he's still on. Jesus.
Well, that's the thing. It can watch, because on YouTube, I don't know if you probably do know this, you can speed up the time. You don't have to watch back at one time speed. Just like on a podcast app, you can speed up the time. And there's a few YouTube channels I look at that go on for 3 hours, and I speed it up to time and a half. And it sounds fast, but it works. It really does. And you can plow through so much information. Anyway, and you could get the daily, the most important news of the day related to Apple from Guy using this method. And it's just like handy bite-sized chunks of information related to Apple. And And also, then he, when he gets to the end of the week and he's chatting to Gaz, he'll sound knowledgeable because he's had to do five stories that week.
The important part there is sounds knowledgeable. That's the part that you have to remember. The other thing you have to remember about doing live casts or really putting yourself out there on a video or audio podcast is you got to have a thick skin. Don't take offense to criticism that people give you, even if it's mean-spirited, because at the end of the day, a lot of that just doesn't matter. It's not important. Stay on track. Don't get discouraged. Keep doing what it is that you love to do. And loving something like this has to be part of the equation. If you're doing it thinking that you're going to get automatic YouTube fame or something, or TikTok fame or something along those lines, you're really not in it for the right reasons. And chances are you will fail. Just do it because it's what you want to do.
Yeah, because it's a passionate subject you're interested in. And like Guy in a minute is going to share all the stuff that he's used. Now, you don't have to use exactly what Guy has been using here. You can literally just take out your phone and talk to it for 5 minutes. But the point is, it's never been easier to do this kind of, is it reporting? I'm not sure, but it's definitely vlogging. So it's and it's really fun to do. You just have to find that subject that you're passionate about. And for us, it's like technology and stuff and movies to a lesser extent. But it's always something out there that you can, and you might be sitting there thinking, well, what have I got to say? Why is my voice so important? Well, it is because it's a different opinion maybe to someone else's. And you can maybe bring an insight that they've never even considered. And it's always worth sharing. And just do it. If it's something you want to do, give it a go, because it has never been easier.
Yep. Agreed. Okay, so once Carl kind of put this bug in my head, I started looking at what I had and how could I take what I already had and use it for something like this. And the first thing was, well, how am I going to live cast? And that answer was like, well, I'll just use StreamYard, which is what I'm using right here. StreamYard has several different methods of use. One is recording, just recording, which is what we're doing right here, because I do go back and edit this. And when you see the audio version, or when you hear the audio version, or you see the video version, it has been edited. It's not, you know, live with all of the faults and all the rest of that. Now, as far as the actual content, from the moment that we say welcome to the podcast and, you know, thanks for watching, none of that is edited. You know, that's all whatever it was we said, whatever it was we did, it's going to be on there. You can also live cast, and there's a third mode and I can't think of what it is, but The two main ones that I use is live casting and recording. So StreamYard does both of those things. The version I use costs about $20 a month. It gives you HD quality, you know, not like super HD quality, but this is what it is. And considering that it's $20 and that YouTube is going to condense the hell out of it anyway, there's really not much point in putting out a 4 or 8K version of any kind of podcast that's out there. Now, the other thing I did, I made a logo. And the way I made the logo, I went into Leonardo, which is an AI program, and I asked it to design a logo for the Daily Apple Dispatch and put a brief description of what that is. And it came up with a logo, and once I had the logo and a background color for it, I brought that into DaVinci, which is a video editor, and made it jump around and move and do all these other things, and made sure that I had the same color background on a separate layer than what I had the logo, so that you couldn't see the difference between the background and the logo as it was moving around and doing all the things that it was going to do. And this is only for like a 10-second intro. So you know, you could spend days working on an intro, and I have done that in the past, but in this particular case it was like, okay, I just wanted to fly in, do a quick zoom, change colors a little bit, and then fade out. And so that's what I did. And then after that, I needed theme music for it. And you and I have talked about this particular program. It's called Suno. And Suno, you basically tell it what kind of music you want, and it will not only come up with the music, it will come up with lyrics as well. And sometimes the lyrics themselves can be a little cheesy, and it definitely sounds very, very processed. And it was way too long for what I needed, so I had to take all of that into my audio editor of choice, which is Hindenburg. Find stop and start points, add just kind of a little drum beat right at the very beginning, and then just put that whole thing together to come up with the music, throw that back into DaVinci, and then export that as an MP4 file, which can be... Actually, I can... Let me see if I can do this. I'm going to show this here as we're talking. There's... For people who are watching, there's the logo right there. Daily App. Do you see it, Carl?
I see it.
Okay. And so that's the logo, and what I'm going to do is show you the... This is the opening for the show.
Do we believe?
Okay, that's the opening for the show. So, you know, it's quick. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. And it just kind of, so, you know, I come in, I say, you know, brief little something about what I'm going to talk about, give the date, and then the logo comes splashing in, it goes out, and then I do the content. And that's basically it. That's all I needed for that. For recording, I use Audio Hijack as a virtual mixer so that I can, and when you hear the first couple of test runs that I did, for whatever reason, I was either having problems with the microphone or with the cable, and I replaced them both. That's why I'm not using the NT1 Signature Series mic that I was using last week. And these kinds of things happen. So, but Audio Hijack as a virtual mixer means that I don't necessarily have to have something like Carl likes to use the Rode Podcaster Duo. Is that the one you have, or do you have the
Rodecaster Duo? Yeah, too? That's okay. That's my mixer,
which is some great. That's a great piece of gear.
But you don't need something any of that.
You don't necessarily need it.
You can go and get
Audio Hijack.
You can go and get. Well, you can even go simpler than that, cheaper than that. Sure. You can go and get OBS, for example, for recording a video and audio to a lesser extent. And then, if you want to touch up your audio, Audacity. Totally free. Both those programs, totally free. Both of them are highly supported on YouTube. There's lessons of how to do all kinds of things on there as well.
Pretty much everything. And same thing with OBS. Or there's another version of it called Slobs that has gives you a little bit, you know, different options when it comes to doing video. But both of those are completely free. So you don't necessarily need Hindenburg, which is a subscription service. You don't necessarily need Audio Hijack, which is a paid-for program. You don't necessarily need Loopback, which I use for routing audio. And, you know, Suno AI, for what it is that I was doing, I have a subscription to it just because I love that service. But you don't need it. You don't need a subscription to it as long as you're not, like, trying to make the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. There are limitations to how many times they'll let you create audio files in Suno before they'll say, you know, you should probably pay for this if you want to do it as much as you do. So I'm using StreamYard for live casting. Suno I use for the theme. Hindenburg I've used for editing the theme, Audio Hijack as a virtual mixer, Loopback for routing audio, Notes for notes. You know, that's a free program. And lastly, I can take, and I haven't done it yet because I haven't officially started it, I can take the video version out of, you know, download that from YouTube or download it from StreamYard and put this into a program that I use called Audio Converter Pro, which will basically take any audio or audio that's associated with a video and change it into some other kind of format. And that's a great program. That actually should be my tip, Audio Converter Pro. That's a wonderful, wonderful program. And that's basically how I do it. And then once it's done, I go into YouTube because I do like a 30-second intro before I begin the program. Because when I first start up the live cast, I'm checking audio, I'm checking video, I'm making sure it sounds okay, that it looks all right. And then after it's done, I will cut out that entire beginning part up to like maybe 2 or 3 seconds with the logo before I come on, and then cut off whatever's extra there at the end. And YouTube, that's all free as well over on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And that's basically how I'm going to dad.
It is amazing what we can do, like in our spare rooms nowadays. From a few years ago, it's crazy. I remember trying just to edit video back in the day from a VHS thing, and I had two clunky tape decks connected and synced, and I had to press record on that one and fast forward and rewind on that one, and that was to produce a video that we shared around. Now I just wish I had this technology when I was a kid. I would have been all over the place shooting stuff.
So but, easy.
It's so easy, and like I say, the passion. Really, I mean, we Guy has listed all those things there because he uses them already in relation to the show and other things he's done in the past. You can go out there and start with nothing other than a phone.
Yep.
As long as you've got something to record audio on and video on, if you want to do a video podcast, it's all here. It's all free. It's always a free option. There's free options to make your audio sound better by just loading it up and then downloading a cleaned up version. Yeah. For example, but
that's kind of what I do with Guy's Daily Drive that I record in my car. I just live cast that to Facebook and then download the audio video from Facebook. And that's all done just on my phone that I have mounted in my car at some place.
It is amazing what you can do on my Mac.
You don't need to spend a lot of money to do this stuff.
Nope.
The only thing you need is a passion for it. That's like the most important part is the will to do it. You have to have the will to do it.
And last thing, right. The subject matter. Whatever it is, if you think it's dull, don't think that, because somewhere else on this planet, there's someone else that thinks exactly the same way about the subject matter as you do. You just need to find the audience out there. That's all. And it's great. And it's a great journey.
As far as using like Audio Hijack and Loopback and Farrago for sound bits and all the rest of that, I actually have a video. If you go and look up my channel, Vert Shark, I don't have a whole lot of followers because I don't really push it that hard. But I actually have a video on there that shows, I made it like 5 years ago, that shows you step by step how to use Audio Hijack, Loopback, and other programs to record multi-track video or multi-track audio right onto your computer. And so if you look that up, it's gotten like, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that many, but it's gotten many, many thousands of views and quite a few comments. And every time I get a comment on it, it's like, I did that thing. I remember that now. And so, yeah, if you want to know how I do some of that stuff, just go on over to the Vert Shark channel and find that video. There's a couple there that show you how to use like Rogue Amoeba products to do some of this stuff. But again, you don't have to. If it's just you, you don't need to do all of the things that I do. So, you know, save your money and find less expensive options.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Rogue Amoeba stuff is awesome, but we're not going to go there. Okay, I'm nodding my head. Are you nodding your head?
I am, in fact, nodding my head.
So much nodding.
Hit it.
Most of the time.
Gazzy's tips.
Most of the time.
Gazzy's tips.
It's time for
Gazzy's tip.
Okay, this is like a super basic tip that you should know, but if you don't, especially if you're new to the Mac, that you'll probably appreciate. And if you need to find anything, and literally anything that's connected to your Mac, Apple has a program called Spotlight, which is an amazing tool. And it is also very easy to bring right up onto your computer. All you have to do is hold down the command key and hit spacebar. It'll come up. You type in whatever the heck it is that you're looking for. It shows it to you in a Finder window, and Bob's your uncle. You're good to go. I learned that one from Gaz. Would you agree with that, Carl?
I would agree, but I'd also say when you said it was a super basic one, I was hoping, part of me was hoping that you was going to say is next time you run into any kind of technical problem, have you tried turning it off and on again?
Yes.
Now I'm nodding my head.
Okay. Oh, I'll nod my head to that too.
Hit it. That's the end of Gaz's tips. That's most the end of Gaz's tips. That's most the end of Gaz's tips.
Is that the end of the tip?
Will you let me finish?
Gaz, you are absolutely right.
Okay, there we go. Oh, I love doing this show, Carl. I really, really do. Where am I? I know, I get lost. And I already kind of talked about a tip, which was, or a link, or a pick-sake, I should say, and that was Audio Converter Pro. You can go and find that. I believe it's in the Mac App Store. If you have done a review and you've let us know about it, because I don't follow all these things, and unless you tell me, I don't know if you've done a review. And if you do a review, you will get something back that is just amazing. And you will wonder how on earth you managed to survive for however many years that you've been on this planet without one. And it is called a Woo-tee. And a Woo-tee, if you're curious, is a big W, big O, big O, big T, little I, little E, exclamation mark. That is a Woo-tee. Remember, you have to let us know about it, so you can send us email and all the various ways that we'll talk about in just a second. We don't have any email feedback. However, once again, we do have something from Mr. Cheesedoff, and I have not yet, it just came in this morning. I haven't listened to it yet, so we're going to hear this together, Carl. Are you ready for Mr. Cheesedoff?
Okay.
I like this guy.
Hello, Guy and Gaz. Mr. Cheesedoff here. Have you seen this rubbish about Apple's vintage list? They've got a slap-lite label on the iPhone 10, first-generation AirPods, and HomePod. Vintage? Vintage? These aren't fine wines. They're gadgets I paid through the bloody nose for. The iPhone 10, revolutionary, they said. Edge-to-edge display, they said. Well, now it's edge-to-obsolescence. I barely finished paying it off, and Apple's already treating it like a bloody relic. And don't get me started on those AirPods. I spent months fishing them out of my damn sofa cushions, and now they're vintage too. They still fit in my ears, don't they? Or has Apple decided our lug-hole shapes are also obsolete? And the HomePod, that overpriced speaker that was supposed to change how we live. Well, it's changed how I live, all right? Now I've got a vintage paperweight cluttering up my living room. This vintage cobblers is just a fancy way of saying we won't fix it anymore. 7 years and it's obsolete. I've got underpants older than that. It's a conspiracy to make us buy new stuff. I tell you, a conspiracy. I don't know. It all really cheeses me off.
I want to know where he got that phone that he can just slam down there at the end.
I want to know where he's got his underpants that last 7 years.
I've yet to find any, and any that I may have that are that old are none that I want to wear.
Precisely.
Under or over. Thank you, Mr. Cheesedoff. We really, really do appreciate it. And one of these days you are actually going to send me an email so that I know where to send a Woody to. And speaking of that, other ways that you can help support the show is by going to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/MacPettit. You can also go to our Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/MacPettit, or you can pay a pal. You can pay a pal.
I missed the first one.
That's all right, Carl. That's all right. You can pay a pal, though. paypal.me/MacPettit. Now, Carl,
Well,
if people wanted to get a hold of you and say, oh my God, 2 weeks in a row that you've spent with that guy, literally that guy, how would they do so?
Well, you can either hop on to X and follow me at Clausio101 or come and listen to the Mac and Forth show, available on your favorite podcatcher of choice.
What are you doing? I was waiting to see if... Wait, let's try the hearts. Nope, nothing.
You turned it off last time. It's not. Did
I? I don't remember, but it's not working today. If you'd like to get a hold of Gaz, it's very, very easy. Go to the email client of your choice. Type in gaz@mymac.com and tell him whatever the heck it is that you want to tell him. He's Gazmaz over on Twitter. He is gazmaz@c.im over on Mastodon. Together, we are Guy and Gaz, GUYANDGAZ over there on Twitter. If you would like to, I forgot to say the GAZ all over the Gazmaz stuff. If you'd like to get a hold of Fearless Leader Tim and say, do you realize Guy and Gaz have been doing this show for at least 700 weeks, and why do you continue to let them do it? That would be feedback, FEEDBACK, at mymac.com. Now, if you want to get a hold of me, well, it's also very easy. It would be guy@mymac.com. I am also over there on the X Twitter things as either Mac Parrot or Vert Quack. Shark. Over Da-da. There on Instagram and Threads, I am Vert Shark. Da-da. And on Counter Social and Mastodon.social, I am Mac Parrot.
Ah.
There's another way you can get a hold of us. We have a telephone number, Carl. Did you know about this telephone number?
I have heard it. It is starting to stick in my brain now. I've heard it this way so many times.
Let's hear it.
You've got it.
Oh, I have it. Do I have it?
Oh, dear. Here it comes.
Call 703-284-677 for the Mind Mac podcast with Guy and Gaz. It's tech heaven. That's 703-284-677. Get in touch now. Your call is our tech driven 11. 703-284-677.
Kill it. So I think you guys know the number by now. We are at the saddest part of the show where we're getting ready to say goodbye. And I'd like to say to all of you who download and listen to this show, thank you.
And view.
Thank you.
And view. And view.
And view. And view this show.
There you go.
Thank you so very, very much. I am humbled every single time that I see download numbers for any of the crazy stuff that I do. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. And Carl,
yo,
I don't have a joke ready. I think
I do.
Oh, good. Good. Okay. Hold on. I think that we're good enough. I think that we're smart enough, and that doggone it, Wolf, Wilf. I wonder if they took Wilf with them. I'm sure they did. People like us.
What do you call a computer that sings?
I don't know.
Adele.
Oh. So bad. And. Thanks for downloading and listening to the My Mac Podcast. You can also hear other great podcasts on the My Mac Podcasting Network, like the Tech Fan Podcast, Three Geeky Ladies, Geekiest Show Ever, the Let's Talk Podcast, Essential Apple Podcast, and the Club PlayStation and Club Nintendo Podcasts. Everything is recording.
No, you can't start this early. Gaz won't believe it.
I know.
This is only 5 minutes after the scheduled time.
Yeah, he's...
I'm going to send him a text. So guess what, Gaz? We're starting 5 minutes after the starting time.
He won't believe it.
I know he won't, but I'm still going to send it to him. Where's my messages?
All you're going to do is rile them up. That's what you're going to do. Excuse me.
All right, I'll withhold. Knowing you, you'll put it in the show anyway. You'll probably put it in the show anyway, knowing you.
No, me, the outtakes. No. You can mention it.
Yeah. Me no.
Okay, back on Red Dill. That's terrible.
Shut up, you. That's masterpiece. That's a masterpiece. I should.
You see, there's so many of these things that Gaz has done over the years that even when he's not here, I don't think about them until it's like, huh, I should have been prepared for that.
Here's another one. You know, how do robots pay for things? With cash. Takes a moment.
See, not everybody would have got that. No, not everybody would have got that.
That's why it's a tech-related one.
What site do you use to find these? Or
ChatGPT.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I just on the fly type in a joke, you know? That's all you do.
I actually don't have any of my browsers open other than Braille.
I just got the app. Sure. Give me 10 tech-related dad jokes, and that was it. Just pick one.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to remember that.
Yeah.
So next week...
Mm-hmm. You'll be in Chicago.
Hometown
Chicago.
And I have no idea. Oh, yeah.
Chicago
Town. Well, Dave Ginsburg took me out to Manelli's. I can't remember the name of the place, but it's like famous for Chicago deep dish pizza. And it was like the first time, because there's a chain of restaurants here called Godfather's that does like a Chicago deep dish, but it's not the same thing. No. These guys had like the real Chicago deep dish pizza. And it was so, and I'm a big eater. I got through like two pieces of this and it was like, wow, I am so done. It's dense. It's like super dense.
I can't even finish a Domino's pizza, a thin crust one normally.
My wife and I, when we do pizza, we'll do thin crust. I'm a big fan of Hawaiian pizza. I don't know how you feel about it.
Pineapple and ham. I don't see what the
and onions
thing is about. I don't know why people hate it so much.
I don't know. I think just because it's not like pepperoni or sausage or something like that.
Yeah, man. I wouldn't have thought. Mind you, I wouldn't think peanut butter and jam go together, no. But they do for some reason.
Yeah, but I love Hawaiian pizza. You know, it's got that, because of the ham and because of the pineapple, it's got that sweet and savory kind of thing all going on at the same time. And some people just look at it as like an abomination.
Have you had pretzels covered in chocolate?
Yes.
I think they're called Frips over here or something like that. God, again, I thought, no way. And I bought a pack and it was gone, demolished in about 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. It's my like wife crack. And I went
not
to
that, no.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is like a big pretzel place. And they actually do a tour at this one like pretzel factory. And it was the kind of thing when we were there to do something else and we just had some extra time. So it was like, sure, let's go on the pretzel tour. And it was actually quite interesting. And of course, there was like samples and stuff and all the rest of it. And they got to like the chocolate pretzel bit. And they actually asked, well, has anyone here had chocolate pretzels or haven't had chocolate pretzels? And I raised my hand, not because I hadn't had chocolate pretzels, but I was hoping they would give me extras.
Sly. I know. That's like when you walk in the pub and say, no, I've never tried this thing called a beer before.
Yeah, give me a free one so I can see if I like it.
Yes, let's try this. Now try that one. What, that one? Our pubs like that. Give you a little sample.
Well, I almost always went in and had harp, and I know that marks me as a tourist. I like harp.
Terrible.
I like harp lager. I'm sorry.
You might as well have had Watney's Red Barrel. Oh, my God.
I don't even know what that is.
No, that is definitely... English people of a certain age will know what Watney's Red Barrel is, and it'll probably fill them with dread.
Is it the cheap beer that the kids all get?
it was like... it was a very cheap Wall Street beer, lager. And it's the sort of crap you took to a party with you because you was cheap.
Yeah. It's like Pabst Blue Ribbon here, which is really just... And, you know, I'm not even really much of a beer drinker anymore. But even when I was drinking beer, I would, you know, somebody would say, oh, here, have a Pabst. It's like, no, I'll just drink something else.
If it's ice cold, I don't mind. As long as it's ice cold, I can drink anything. Unless it's now. Al doesn't have to be ice cold, but obviously. Or whiskey.
Chocolate pretzels. Excuse me. Chocolate pretzels, Hawaiian pizza, things like that. Remind me of a saying that I heard the very first time I had escargot, which is...
Oh, snails?
Yeah.
Ugh.
If you put enough butter and garlic on something...
That's true.
It's going to taste good. It doesn't matter what it is.
I'm still not putting a snail in my mouth. I don't care. Bloody French can keep it.
We had just done... back in my traveling days, we had just gone all up and down the east coast of Africa. And this is 1985. And we get into South Africa, and all throughout most of the rest of Africa, you had to be very, very careful what you ate and what you drank and, you know, all the rest of that. South Africa didn't really have, I mean, I don't know what it's like now, but then it didn't really have a whole lot of those kinds of things that you had to worry about. And we went to this steak place, and the guy I was traveling with, he ordered escargot. And I was like, oh my God, that's snails, isn't it? And he was like, you ever had it? And I was like, no, why the hell would I eat snails? And he was like, tell you what, if you try one and don't like it, I will pay for half of your dinner. And it was like, I had to think about it for a second because it was still snails, you know? And finally I was like,
wouldn't you?
I was like, okay, yeah, well I could, but you know, I mean, we just spent like, how long was that trip? It was like 2 to 3 months together at that point. So it comes out and it's in, I don't know if you've ever seen like deviled egg trays.
Yeah.
I guess that's more of an American thing, but it looked like a devil's egg tray and it had 6 pieces of bread that had, you know, little tiny slices of bread that had butter. And then there was a snail on top of it. And you could see all the garlic and stuff that was in the melted butter that was in the little container. And he was like, go ahead. And it was like, damn it. I was half hoping they'd come back and say, I'm so sorry, sir. We don't have any escargot this time around. But no, they had some. And I ate it. And it was like, wow, that's really good. And he was like, yeah, garlic and butter will make almost anything taste good.
Does it taste like chicken?
No. No, it tastes like butter and garlic. That's all I could taste was the butter and garlic.
Yeah, but it must have had texture.
The texture was not great. But it isn't something that I like, ooh, we're going to this restaurant and they have escargot. I can't wait. You know, and that never flitters through my head, regardless of where I'm going.
Well, obviously here in London, we get a load of like shellfish stores and stuff like this. Not as popular as they used to be, where they sell like cockles and eels, and, you know, jellied eels and stuff. And all this stuff, I've never liked any of it. I'm one of the few Londoners that just despise all this stuff. Like a lot of shellfish stuff, for example, like oysters. It just looked like someone sneezed. I don't want to put that in my mouth.
It kind of does. It's my problem is I can't eat shellfish because I'm allergic to iodine.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, and that sucks because I love crab and I love shrimp and I love lobster and all that stuff. And I have to be really, really careful when I eat it.
They've all shut down, haven't they? Red lobsters. A lot of them are shut down over there, I hear.
Oh, the red lobsters. Yeah, a lot of them have shut down.
Florida, we went to
That's the other thing I really like.
Oh, okay. When I was in Florida, we went to one, and like we thought, I've never had lobster. Oh, yeah, I've lobster. Yeah, I don't mind picking it. And as soon as I saw them in that little tank, I thought, yeah, I'll just have to scampi.
Yes.
I'm not picking what I want to.
It's got a face. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
it's not
me.
Like. Have you read? Well, you've read, of course. Oh, I don't know, of course. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books.
Oh, yeah.
Did you read Restaurant at the End of the Universe?
Oh, yeah. The what do you call it? The meat that wants you to eat it. I've come with.
Yeah, yeah. He says, oh, I'll be your dinner this evening. Oh, don't worry. I've been eating lots of lovely grains, so I've cut all of this.
Is there,
and he's trying to convince Arthur Dent. It's okay. I actually want to die so that you can be fed. And is giving him like all these excuses, like, don't worry about it. I'm going to go and kill myself in a very humane way. It's going to be great. And of course, you know, Zaphod Beeblebrox doesn't have any problem with it at all. No. He's digging right in.